Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Welcome to the Word Vomit Podcast, a podcast where we talk about video games, movies, television / streaming, and comics.
Oh, yeah.
The stubborn SOB, Vitamin E Man, aka Emmanuel, on the mic. With me on this episode, one Mr. Sean Vander.
Echoless Sean Vander.
Thank you for that. And you can hear this podcast wherever you get your podcast, and also check out the YouTube video. It's put up every Wednesday. Granted, admittedly, I've been a little, shall I say, lazy about that, and I apologize. We'll get better at it.
I don't think so.
I will get better at it.
Okay.
Sean, what is up, man?
Things and just happenings. Not always good, but I mean, always things happening, taking them day by day. And yeah, man, honestly, we're both survivors. We absolutely are. And yeah, man. Yeah.
So before we do what we usually do on this podcast, like I said, video games, movies, television, streaming, and all that good jazz, I feel that we do have to talk about everything that's going on with the whole situation with George Floyd.
It would be irresponsible for us if we didn't.
Yeah. So I'm sure everybody already knows what's going on with that situation, how it came to be. But a quick reminder, George Floyd was killed by an officer who had him handcuffed and had his knee on his neck. George Floyd was constantly telling the officer that he couldn't breathe, and the officer was just completely disregarding him. The officer said that they had to do it because he was resisting arrest. Video showed otherwise, and it's caused pandemonium, with a lot of protests happening, not just in the state that it happened, but actually here in California.
Yeah.
San Jose, California, and Oakland, California have had their protests. And it's not necessarily just because of George Floyd. It's actually that it's happened again, where we've seen police brutality aimed at African Americans. And it keeps happening over and over again. One a little close to me, actually. If you remember Oscar Grant, there is even a movie that was made about it, Fruitvale Station. That was the BART station that for the longest time I would go to work at. So that was the first BART station that I would always go on. And I actually had a friend that was there when it happened. Like she was coming home from San Francisco, I believe, because it was New Year's. Yeah, it was New Year's. So that's all going on right now, and I'll level with you, man. I told you this off the air. I didn't want to record. I didn't want to do any podcast. I didn't want to do anything. My exact words were, I just want to sit down, eat a lot of junk food, play some video games, just like switch off. Mm-hmm. I'm off. I just, because it, I started getting headaches. I almost felt like I was going to throw up. Mm-hmm. This is gnarly. This is fucking crazy. There's just no way of going around this. And I know there's a lot of people right now that are just like, well, as soon as those protesters start looting and damaging property, they lose their moral high ground. There was a quote, I can't remember it exactly, but Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Rioting is the voice of those who aren't listened to."
Yep.
You know, there's only so much pushing that you can do before you get pushed back. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're in 2020 right now, what's crazy is I'll watch Facebook videos from time to time. They'll pop up on my phone.
Sure.
And like they'll show old clips from 90s sitcoms. Like I'll always see the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air one where they talk about Will's dad when his dad leaves. I don't know if you remember that scene.
Yeah.
Another
best acted
one
scene in the whole series.
Yeah. Another scene that comes up is from Family Matters when Eddie gets pulled over.
Yeah.
For being black, essentially. And Carl goes to talk to that officer, and he basically said, you pulled over my son because he was black, didn't you? Like, that's the only reason. Think about that for a second. Family Matters was a show that was on in the 90s. We've started 2020. We are in 2020 right now. For 30 years, this shit's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, it's been addressed in television, in popular culture, and nothing is still happening. Nothing has changed. We still see the same things over and over again. So when I hear about these protests and they start getting violent, I understand why. It's because they've been trying to tell you so many times, and they've tried to do it peacefully, and they get shit for it. When Colin Kaepernick took the knee, everyone's like, you shouldn't protest like that, not during the national anthem. He wasn't hurting anybody. Nope. If anything, he went to somebody in the military, and the dude in the military told him, you should kneel because you still show respect for the anthem, but you also show that you have something that you're trying to bring attention to. You're still being respectful. That is somebody who was in the military for a good portion of their life telling Kaepernick how he should protest. And we saw the Los Angeles Lakers wearing shirts that says, I can't breathe, as a form of protest. And you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't protest like that. Not in my sports. You should stay away from my sports. Just play basketball. Just play football. Just play baseball. Well, how the fuck are you supposed to protest then? If you don't listen to what they're trying to do, when they're trying to be peaceful about it, why are you surprised that they're getting angry and frustrating and unwilling to resort to physical blows, to destroying of property? Like, these people are angry. Everybody should be angry about this. The thing that scares me the most is that, and I hate to say it, but it's also happening to me, is that people are now just seeing this as a way of life, that this just happens. And that's the last thing it should be. Like, every time this happens, people should be in fucking arms, pitchforks, torches, all that shit. And it doesn't. And it continues to happen. And people have gone up and said, police officers need a new training method. They need to be retrained. Old ones need to be retrained, and there needs to be new standards to how situations like this are supposed to be handled. And they say it costs too much money. And then we get things like this happening.
Yep.
And this is just even outside of the racism. That's not even including the racism. You know, nobody should be targeted based on how dark their skin tone is. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody should, it shouldn't be a crime to be black. It shouldn't be a crime to be brown. And yet we live in a society where that pretty much is the case. I guess what I'm trying to say is that with everything that's going on, if I get stuck in traffic because protesters take over 880, which did recently happen, by the way, and it's happened before.
There was a 101 in San Jose.
In the South Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be okay with it. Because I'll understand why it's happening.
Yep.
Because there is no reason, none at all, why this should continue at all. Try looking up the names in the last 5 to 10 years of African Americans that were killed for police brutality. Look up that list. It is a staggering fucking list. And that list should not exist. And it does. And that is fucking heartbreaking. And my heart goes out to the family and friends of not just George Floyd, but of anybody who's lost a loved one because of this. I am so sorry that this happened. It shouldn't have happened. You have every right to be mad. You have every right to be distrustful of the police force, because the people that were supposed to protect and serve did quite the opposite. And somebody died because of it. And that's just not fair. So I'm sorry. I can only hope that this is it. This is the moment where things change, where now there is no more bullshit. Things change here and now. Things are taken more seriously when it comes down to racial profiling, police profiling, because I can only imagine what's going to happen if it doesn't. Mm-hmm. If they don't listen now, like I said, there's only so much that you can push before you start getting pushed back, and it's going to be a fucking slaughter. No joke. And with that, I'd like to get into the jokes. I'd like to have fun.
Hey, I didn't get my 2 cents.
Oh, please. The floor is yours. Right. The floor is yours, Sean.
My tone and voice is usually very upbeat and kind of uplifting. But see, the thing is, what I want is intelligence to win out. I want logic to win out. I mean, if you're a police, you want to investigate a crime, it's not always the black man. It's not always, all right? How about you do a little bit of investigating? You know, if you have to hold a man, hold him. Don't beat the shit out of him nearly to death and then put him in the back of a squad car and figure out what really happened, and then don't get any clues. Don't get anything. Don't really investigate it. Fuck it. I got somebody in the back of a squad car that we can basically pin something on, right? Our job's done. Case fucking closed. No. Police shouldn't be doing that. And I'm not even saying that they are doing that, but maybe they are. I don't know. I'm not a police officer. I just want logic and intelligence and humanity win over the day. Even the guys up in Congress, they don't want to listen to this shit. Like, oh, whatever, the police, they're doing a hard job. Yeah, fuck yeah, they're doing a hard job. I get it. My great-grandfather was a sheriff for fucking years, and he retired as a sheriff. So I get it. But if you're going to do your damn job, do your job with some logic. Do your job with some compassion, because just do your fucking job. You don't just handle any suspect like that, fucking kill him while detaining him. How the fuck do you do that? How? Does it literally take 4 men to fucking take over a situation and fucking nearly kill a man? Did it really?
No. In this case, it wasn't nearly.
It wasn't even nearly.
He was dead.
He was dead. You didn't even get him into a squad car. You don't even know if he was guilty of anything until fucking later. Well, like, oh, well, he was nowhere near the fucking crime scene. Well, fuck. Now what? Now fucking what? Where was your logic? Where was your heart? Where? It didn't make any kind of goddamn sense. And if you just acted on a little bit of just forethought, you would think, fuck, what the hell do we do now? Well, just, come on. I don't fucking get it. I don't fucking get it. I mean, your job is hard. Don't get me wrong. I would never be a policeman, ever. But Christ almighty, you get trained for this shit.
And in this case, they're getting trained improperly.
And you may not, maybe not. I don't fucking know. I don't know if it's the job that jades you, because I could imagine it does. Sure as fuck jaded my great-grandfather. But even so, I couldn't imagine him doing some shit like this with four other guys. No fucking way. No, with four other officers. You're supposed to protect and serve. Even if you have a guy in the back of a fucking squad car, you get a detective down here, figure this shit out. You're trying to solve crime. Might be petty or whatever, but fuck. It's your goddamn job. What the fuck are you doing? And I would love to see Congress get to the bottom of this shit, because this isn't the only time this shit's happened. Like Fruitvale Station, I went to that fucking BART station. I lived fucking not even a mile away from that BART station. What the fuck are you guys doing? You, oh, Jesus Christ. I don't even want to get into it. It's just like, God damn, guys.
Lastly, this will be the last thing on this. Because again, we've got stuff we want to talk about. It's fun stuff. You're going to see me shit on one of the topics, by the way. I'm giving you fair warning right now.
It's going to be good shitting.
It's going to be good. So let this be the last thing. For those officers that do their job correctly, thank you, first off.
Yes.
But secondly, if you see an officer that isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, it is your duty to either set them straight or get them the fuck out. That's just it, man.
Cooler, you know, heads have to prevail.
I have seen so many profiles on social media about, like, if you like cops, don't even fucking talk to me. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be, you should be relieved when you see a police officer, because the whole idea behind the police officer was to protect and serve. Think about those two words, protect and serve.
For the good of the community.
For the good of the community, for the good of the state, for the good of the nation. That's what an officer is supposed to do. I get that the job is stressful. I do, because you put your lives on the line.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's people that
in the next hour while you're on duty.
There was people that started the police force and day one shot and killed. Because that can always happen. I get that. But you signed up for that job. You signed up for that badge. You signed up for the ideas of protect and serve. And if you see an officer that is not doing that, then for your safety, you need to do something about that.
For everyone's safety.
Because right now, being a cop, that almost puts a target on you at this point. I say almost in the sense of, I'm sure that there's officers out there that are doing their job and they have the respect of their communities, but those are very few and far between. If you have a blue uniform, you have a target on you right now, because there's been so many times that this has happened and nothing has changed. So it's not just, oh, the police department in itself has to do it. No, you have to do something too. For your safety and ours. Fuck.
just fuck. I mean, people can be civil. I mean, honestly, the protest in San Jose didn't get bad. Maybe a broken window on some dude's car, a little here and there, but that was about it. People do get pissed off, but most people were just like, yeah, we fucking get it. And honestly, the cops, same thing. We get it. You guys are going to protest, you're going to walk San Jose, they let them do it. They let them do it. As long as nobody was losing their fucking minds and nobody lost their fucking minds.
Let's be honest. If they did,
it would have been bad.
Not just bad.
It would have been real bad.
It wouldn't have just been bad. It would have been understandable.
Yeah, it would have been understandable.
Because it's just, nothing's changed in the last, I mean, mind you, I'm saying 30 years based off of when that Family Matters episode aired. We know that it's a lot longer, but you would think that three decades of that being pointed out, something would change.
3 decades of, like, at least us being alive, you know?
You know.
Essentially.
So this needs to stop.
4 for me.
This needs to change. Being black should not be a crime. Being brown should not be a crime. Being any race, culture, belief, sexual orientation, none of that should be in the conversation when it comes down to crime. If someone commits a crime, it's one thing. They shouldn't be judged based off of the color of their skin for that to be the case.
By their actions.
It's by their actions.
Their fucking actions. Period. Period. Just fuck.
All right.
This is the last thing we needed. As a human race, this is the last thing we needed.
Did you know that SpaceX had their first rocket launch today?
That's cool.
It was a successful one. And when that happened, there was something that popped into my mind. It was a Calvin and Hobbes strip that came up. Mm-hmm. And it was the one where Calvin and Hobbes are looking at a stump of a tree that was cut down. And Calvin says it. And, I don't know if he was the originator or not. I'd like to say that it was, because Calvin is way smarter than he should be for a kid. But he says the surest sign that there's intelligence outside of the earth is the fact that they haven't come down to see us. Because we as a human race are fucking failing. And we
got our own shit to figure out.
Yeah. I'm sure that alien life forms right now have their own shit to worry about too, but
yeah,
it's one of those things. We spent nearly a half hour on that, man.
Did we? Jesus.
Yeah, we did. I think it's time to move on to some of the stuff that we usually talk about.
Okay.
And the first thing something that you brought to my attention, I saw it and I cringed.
I didn't want to bring this to your attention, but I'm like,
it is
news. He's gonna know already.
It's news.
He's gonna know already.
It's news in the movie universe.
Yeah.
So, you know what, Sean? Why don't you go ahead, take lead on this one?
All right. Okay. Should I pull up my? Because I turned off my monitor because my face glares on my other. Whatever. I'll have like 3 monitors here and whatnot. All right. So, should I screen share this?
No, you don't want. Okay.
Just, well, anyhow,
let everybody know what's going on.
Let it go. All right. So, Kate Blanchett. If you already know her, cool. If you don't,
wasn't she Hela?
Yes, she's Hela in
Thor.
Thor 2.
No, Thor 3.
And was it Thor 3?
Yeah, oh, shit, Thor 2 was the Dark World.
Oh, yeah, my bad. So, yeah, she was Hela in Thor 3. And she was the elf queen. God, I don't remember her name. In Lord of the Rings and Hobbit.
She's been around.
Yeah, she's been around. Phenomenal actress, period. I can't argue with her work. She's really, really good at what she does.
She got the skills in front of the camera. She knows what to do.
Very talented British actress woman. She's really dope. However, she signed on as Lilith on Eli Roth's Borderlands. So she's going to be Lilith in the Borderlands movie.
So let's backtrack a little bit. We did talk about this before, about Eli Roth possibly taking on the director role of Borderlands. So not only does it confirm that he did, but they also snagged
an
actress of high caliber
to
play Lilith.
I have not played a single Borderlands game, and that may hurt my gamer cred, but it's like, there's a lot of video games out there that I gotta play.
Australian, by the way. You said, I think you said English. She's Australian.
Is she Australian?
Yeah, she's Australian.
Oh, I boned there.
Yeah, right, cool. I'm looking it up right now, just in case people aren't aware. Mm-hmm. But when we say, like, she's an incredible actress, she is IMDb. 2 Academy Awards,
yep,
3 Golden Globes, mm-hmm, and 3 British Academy Film Awards.
See, that is, I wouldn't know, but I don't follow that.
Imagine the price tag she has to say, hey, we want Kate Blanchett in our movie. Oh, that's going to cost a pretty fucking penny. I can tell you that right now.
All right. So because you've played Borderlands, and oh boy, you have that seething hatred for Borderlands like I have for Batman v Superman, please explain Lilith's character, because I'm lost.
Okay. So for anybody who hasn't played the Borderlands series.
Okay.
Borderlands is essentially a gunning looting game. That was the premise of it, is millions of types of guns. Which in reality, it was more so the same gun, but just a bunch of different variations of it so they can call it a different gun.
Okay.
And apparently there was like so many different combinations that it equated to about millions of guns.
I honestly should try it.
And you know what? You should. Part one, I mean, you're not going to miss anything if you skip part one. If you jumped on part two, you're set. Beautiful game. All right,
cool.
And if you play like some of the spinoffs, just so that you can get an idea of the story that in the world that they crafted on there, it's not a bad idea either.
Okay.
So the pre-sequel, the Telltale Games version, which I didn't realize this, and I feel really silly for this, but okay, Telltale Games was done. They also did the poker games.
I know. I love those games. I need to get them, but you can't.
In Tales of the Borderlands, in order to unlock Claptrap in the game, you have to have $20,000.
In the poker games?
No. In the actual Tales of the Borderlands. Well, it turns out that $20,000 is Claptrap's buy-in for the poker game.
Nice.
So it's all innerly connected. I felt so ashamed that I didn't realize that, because at the time I was a huge Borderlands fan.
Goofy.
And in the game, when you get him too, he even says, like, one of the first things he says, like, I already lost the money, by the way. I was like, damn it. Awesome. So mind you, I'm talking about it, and I had a lot of fun with the myth and the lore. As far as the character Lilith in itself, the lore of the game goes is that there are powerful humans known as sirens. Okay. And there can only be 6 sirens at one time in the world, and Lilith was the first one introduced into the series.
Okay.
After you play as her in the first game, she becomes an NPC in part 2, where she is one of the leaders of the resistance going up against Handsome Jack. You run into other sirens as well throughout the series of the game.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because the game's been out, and also I really don't give a shit, Lilith dies.
You'll get there.
In part 3, if you get the good ending, she dies saving Pandora. So it's a self-sacrifice that saves the world kind of thing.
So I could see Kate Blanchett doing something like that.
Yeah.
As an actress.
This is why, well, first off, Sean, because I'm going to take up a lot of time with this.
No, go ahead. Do it.
Well, before that, mm-hmm, I want to give you the floor, and I want you to give your thoughts on this.
Oh, I mean, honestly, since I have not played any Borderlands, I don't have much of a real opinion. Eli Roth as a director, I mean, okay, sure. Fine.
Well, let's be honest. Eli Roth has done pretty well for himself as well.
He has. I mean, I don't know. Can he do a video game movie?
Well, okay. So,
well, can anyone do a video game movie? I think acting in a video game movie would be a little easier than actually directing, executive producing, and, like, you know, a video game movie. So, like, it puts him in a light where it's like, Like, cool, you're going to do this thing.
I mean,
don't
you
fuck
know what?
It up.
You know what, though? He directed The Man with the Iron Fist.
Yeah.
If you remember that movie, had the RZA, had Dave Bautista, had Kurt Russell.
That was cool.
And the movie was really cool. It had that fantasy vibe to it. And he did such a good job with that. So, yeah, you know what? I'll say it. Okay, you know what? I'm sorry. No, he didn't direct it, but he was a writer and a producer. So I feel like those
positions in a project is even more important, because the director just has to go by the script and go, yeah, you did that. Perfect. Cool. Awesome. Next scene. And then keep going and going and going and going. So, yeah. Unless you're like director, writer, producer, like, oh God, you're total God on this picture. And if it fucks up, it's completely and totally and utterly your fault. So I don't know. I want to hear more casting choices, but I mean, whatever. Kate Blanchett's a good choice.
So to answer your question, I think he can. I think he has the right mind for it.
Okay.
In the sense of like the grandest scale of a video game.
All right.
But yeah, so are you good with what you said? Is there anything else you want to add?
Nah, man, that's it. I just want to hear any more casting choices, and here comes the shittening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here hold on. Go. Let me. I got to drink some coconut water right now, because I got to clear the system on this one.
Emmanuel is about to drop his pants.
Oh, ridiculously. By the way, I am wearing pants.
X-Lax.
I am wearing pants. Probably I am not like that news rant. Reporter who didn't have his pants on, and you can see his boxers. That's not me.
All right, Emmanuel is going to shit as hard as he can.
Oh, and it's going to feel wonderful. Okay, first off, in the case of the movie itself, I've got nothing against Kate Blanchett or Eli Roth.
Okay,
and even apparently the person that they got to write it is also an award-winning scriptwriter.
Let's see how he'll fuck it up.
No. I mean, again,
right. Okay.
I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt. I'm looking at it right now. It says, Borderlands Video Games. Blanchett is represented by CAA. Robert Melnick negotiated the deal on behalf of Lionsgate. James Myers and Aaron Edmonds are overseeing the project for Lionsgate.
And it is Lionsgate.
Yeah, it is Lionsgate on this one. The latest draft of the screenplay by Emmy-winning screenwriter Craig Mazin. So maybe you don't know the name, but the dude has awards. He has the credentials, essentially.
Okay.
So you think that you have everything that you need for a great project. My things that I'm not really down for is first off, it's the Borderlands series, which means it's Gearbox, which means it's Randy Pitchford. I fucking hate Randy Pitchford.
Randy motherfucking
Pitchford. He, to me, is a piece of shit.
I don't know how that guy has not survived on this planet as long as he has without, like, somebody stabbing him at least once or twice.
With one of the last things, from what I heard in the news, that a lot of the people who worked on the Borderlands 3 game were promised bonuses based off of profit sharing. So if anybody is unfamiliar with profit sharing, the way it works is if something makes, and it's not just in video games, this actually happens in other businesses as well. If a company makes profit within a certain period or a certain project, then the profits are split amongst everybody who worked on it. And I think it was like a 60-40, with the 60 going up to the head ups and the 40% going to the the developers, the writers, graphic designers, and all that, you know. And Gearbox is, first off, they don't get paid a lot. They get paid off of the idea of the incentive of profit sharing. If this game makes a profit, if you do well, then you'll get a bonus. This and Gearbox is located in Texas. So because of the, you know, because of that, a lot of taxes that they would normally have to pay, they don't have to. That's one of the things that Texas does in order to try to get businesses to come to them. But they were accordingly promised that if the game makes a profit, then everybody gets a bonus, you know, depending on how well it does. Well, according to 2K Games, the game was, it blew everything out of the water. It blew away what Borderlands 2 made. It was one of the most successful launches ever. So now everybody's like, all right, we're going to get a big bonus. All of our hard work is going to finally pay off. And then they find out that they're not getting the large bonus. They are getting a bonus, but it's nowhere near what they should have gotten. So they were promised this and then denied it. And apparently, Randy Pitchford actually put the large chunk of money that was supposed to go for profit sharing into his own bank account.
Yep.
And we're talking millions. I think we're talking $13.2 million, I think it was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. $13.2 million. So anything that's associated with Randy Pitchford, I'm done. No. I'm not going to – that dude's not going to get the 10 cents for the movie ticket from me. Fuck that.
That's not even the worst that guy has done. But
let's not even get into Aliens Colonial Marines.
Oh, that's not even that.
No, I know, but that's just like adding to the pile. The second thing about it is, you know, with a video game like Borderlands, which is a large scale game, we're talking about 30 to 50 hours of gameplay.
Sure.
Before any extra downloadable content.
Okay.
You know, with what we got in Borderlands 2, I didn't play Borderlands 3. I did hear that as far as the writing did slip off a little bit in part 3.
Okay.
But it was still regarded as a pretty solid story and all that. When it comes down to video games, what is it that a movie's going to give me that I haven't already gotten from a video game? Like, what are we expecting out of the Borderlands movie if we're going into Lilith, you know? Are we going to get an origin story for her? Are we going to get an origin story for Roland, Brick?
Handsome Jack.
You know, which we kind of already got in everything else. Like, Borderlands 3 also shed some more light on Angel. Because there's in Borderlands 2, there's a scene where Handsome Jack says, I did it to protect Angel and to protect everybody. You didn't see what she did to her mother. And there's that part of you that thinks it's just Handsome Jack trying to be manipulative. He's trying to like make himself the hero and everything. But then in Borderlands 3, you find an echo of Angel discovering that she's a siren, doesn't know that she's a siren, but like she has powers, and then she accidentally does something that kills her mom. You know, like we have all that information. So I don't see much of a reason to go check out the Borderlands movie when I've already gotten such well-written storytelling in the video games themselves.
Well, I mean, so far we don't know what the script's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be a Lilith story. I would think with an actress like Kate Blanchett. Yeah, and I would assume she's center stage. I mean, I don't know any other actors. Like, if they're like, oh, cool, George Clooney's Handsome Jack. Like, oh, shit. Okay. Who else are you going to get in there? Like, all these actors have to shine, and they have to be a part of this movie. Kate Blanchett, I mean,
Think this is going to be an ensemble movie, like where it just has a bunch of different stars to portray each character?
See, when it comes to video game movies, in like, who do you, it's like, oh, good Lord, when it comes to video game movies, I go, like, leave it to like Silent Hill, I'm like, who do we follow? Do we follow Harry? Do we follow the guy in Silent Hill 2? Do we follow Harry's daughter? Like, and it could be like this whole ensemble cast, but it's like, do we follow Pyramid Head? Do we follow the Cult of Samael? I mean, I don't know. I don't know until I get on like a trailer and go, oh, okay, for sure. This is going to be blah, 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 or this and that. Like right now, because of what's going on, because of Virus C, all we know is Cate Blanchett is working on, or going to be working on the Borderlands movie with Eli Roth. Nothing's shot yet. Nothing, like when things start settling down, we'll see what happens. But for sure, that's happening.
For sure, we got a Lilith at the very least.
Yeah, we have a Lilith. I don't know if there's going to be a player. That's like even saying like doing like a Half-Life movie. It's like, who the hell is going to be Gordon? It's like, or are you even going to be focusing on Gordon? Are you going to be focusing on the other professor's daughter? God, I need to play more. I got to play Half-Life again. It's been forever, and that VR game looks too good. So, yeah.
What is there a series that you would like to be, that you would like to see be turned into a movie?
No.
There's nothing.
No. No.
Okay, no. You said
I don't think Hollywood's capable.
You said well, so I'd like to think you have at least an idea.
I'd what say was the Last idea, of Us? Sean? Last of Us.
The Last of Us?
Because I think it could be done, because Hollywood loves that post-apocalyptic stuff. And honestly, you could get, I think, any actor worth his weight in human flesh could probably act well. No. There could be bad actors out there. I think you can get a really good actor to play Joel. I think you can get a really good actor to play Ellie. And you could tell a story of them going across the country to meet up with the Fireflies. I think you could do that easily. But the thing is, the game kind of already did that.
Kind of what my argument was going with as far as Borderlands itself. Like a lot of video games do a really good job.
Yeah, but you could tell a story about The Last of Us, like what happened right after that game.
Video games and Ellie, are interactive movies at this point. They are interactive.
That particular
movies.
Game, yes. That particular game, like games like The Last of Us, Red Dead Redemption 2, or hell, or even Red Dead Redemption. And I hate to even say it because, like, Grand Theft Auto, I mean, you watch it for, like, kind of like the cinematic stuff anyway. You play the single, like, campaign, and you get essentially a movie.
Yeah.
And it's an interactive movie. And I hate to even go that far because it's one of the video. It's two of the video game companies right now that have been really grilling their employees really, really bad. But essentially, yeah, those guys work their asses off to make an interactive movie, and it takes forever for them to do. I mean, it's the truth. But I mean, I guess when it comes to regards of movies, that you could easily tell something. A story that happened after the video game, especially in Last of Us.
Or maybe like a new character, but in that same universe.
Maybe, but no one's going to see something like that unless it's really good. I'm like, all right, you took me back to, again, Last of Us. You brought me back to the universe where the Fireflies and the zombies and Joel and Ellie exist. Why am I following some jackass? Same thing with like with Metal Gear. Now I got to go Konami. Great. Like, we're going to have Metal Gear 2. Awesome. I just played a whole thing with Snake and everything. Ah, cool. And then you beat that whole thing. You do with Metal Gear and all that. Some minutes pass. Why am I playing as this white, long-haired hippie who's not Snake doing cartwheels? Why the fuck do I care about this guy?
He seems like a little bit of a whiny little bitch, too. Like,
yeah, why? You're going to get that feeling during a movie. And I think that's what like producers and Hollywood wants to stay away from. But I mean, that shit happens in even video games. So, I mean, fuck, I don't know, man. I don't think Hollywood has the creativity to do things like that. When it says, we can do a video game movie.
I have to disagree with you on that.
for two things that to point, or actually three things okay. for the argument's sake. The first one, the more recent one, was the Uncharted movie that we got with Nathan Fillion.
That's a fan-made movie.
But that goes to show that there are people out there that can actually direct a good video game-based movie. And I think that's yes. what it is I think that because Hollywood wants their guaranteed sale, they want to be like, the idea, I made a joke about it as far as like, there's a price tag for Kate Blanchett that's really, really high because she's a one award-winning actress. Yeah, I was joking, but that's also true. When you know that these people who have been recognized for their work in other movies, there's a higher chance, at least through Hollywood's eyes, that they're going to make a profit, that this movie's going to do really well.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So they'll want to stick with not just with the actors, but they'll also want to stick with that idea with directors as well. Directors that have awards to them or have like really, even if they don't have awards, but they were movies that did really well financially, got really good reviews, they want to go with it. That nobody yeah. wants to take the risk of getting these up and coming directors to, you know, to try to make these things. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, because these up and comers are people who grew up in our age of growing up on Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, PlayStation. They grew up in that time frame, so they have a really good idea of how to tell a story in that case. Whereas if you give a property to somebody who's already established, who doesn't know what the lore is, but because they're a director of high renown, they'll think it's still gonna be magic and it's still gonna work.
Yeah, and they think you could sell a movie on just the director's name or even
the actors and the directors, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, the guy who wrote the first draft of Borderlands is an Emmy Award winning writer. So again, they have the guns essentially to pull out a good movie. But going back to what I was saying earlier, another idea, the Street Fighter Assassin's Fist.
Yeah, that works.
And the Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Which that works too.
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't remember it, I don't know if it's still out there on YouTube, because they put the entire thing out on YouTube at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And then they ended up selling it on Blu-ray. But the Street Fighter Assassin's Fist was the telling of Ken and Ryu, their training of along with Gokin. I was confusing Gokin with Goki, which is Akuma. But Gokin.
I just call him Akuma. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And it wasn't even just in the sense of, because usually when we see the Street Fighter universe, we just kind of see where they came from, like already left, like Ken was already a master and was like the US champ 3 years in a row kind of thing. But we never actually yeah. got to see anything that led to it. Because even in Street Fighter Alpha, they were already masters, you know? Like they were young, yeah. but Ryu already won his first tournament, you know, when he gave Sagat the Shoryuken that left him with the giant scar.
Dope ass story.
Yeah. But we never saw anything before it. So that's where Assassin's Fist takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're able to divulge more into the characters of Ken, Ryu, Goki, Gokin. And they got to play around with it too, where they even turned Ken's dad into a former boxer
mm-hmm.
who then, in order to help himself get clean and disciplined, started boxing again and even trains Ken and Ryu a little bit with it. Like those cool little things like
that. That was a day.
It was a day, yeah. But I think it was also very, because there's a scene where his dad shows Ryu a combination, and then Ryu immediately goes back in a stance, and his dad's like, "No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go back in a stance. And a boxer, you want to rush it. Like if you have an opening and you can just wail on somebody, go for it. You know, little things like that."
Mm-hmm.
And again, they did a really good job with it. They were able to tell a very good story, a very compelling story. They even threw a little bit of a curveball where it seemed like Ken was the one that was going to succumb to the Dark Hado, the Satsui no Hado. Mm-hmm. Because he starts training on those stances and whatnot. You know, things like that. Like, it can be done. It can be done very well. The problem is that a lot of these directors are up-and-comers. Those not videos really that we saw.
I feel.
What they did was a passion project or a proof of concept.
Yeah.
Because there was a video of Ken and Ryu fighting each other as the proof of concept for Street Fighter's Assassin's Fist.
Yep.
And the same with Mortal Kombat. There was the proof of concept where Scorpion's been arrested. Jax come in and he's not military, they're cops. So is Sonya. And they talk about like some of the other characters in a world where it's I don't want to say tied more to reality, but more so of like a more common thing instead of it being like special ops. It's, you know, but they do a really good job with that to the point where Warner Brothers and NetherRealm Studios are like, hey, yeah, let's go for it. And they came out with two seasons of stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe not necessarily in Hollywood, but it is possible, I think, to make really cool movies based off of video games.
Well, yeah, it's possible, but will Hollywood do it? They want to try, but they'll fuck it up.
I mean, it also
either there's not enough monkeys, which is in this time of year. That's cool, and the kids will see it because of monkeys. You know,
and
stupid
counter
shit like that.
And counter argument to that as well is. The idea of that you want general public to go and watch the movie. So you can't make it too much for the fans because you want the casual moviegoer to go watch it as well. Granted, the casual moviegoer can't really do anything because of virus C, but you get the idea.
Nobody can do anything about it right now, but yeah.
You get the idea. It's more so the idea of just being able to not only draw in the fans, but to draw in the regular moviegoer. A perfect example of that was Warcraft. Like if you understood the lore of Warcraft, that was an amazing fucking movie. But if you went in there completely blind to what Warcraft was, it was at the best a decent movie.
Yeah, a CG fest though.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully the movie did really well in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And you know,
of course
but,
it did.
But you get the idea, you know.
Warcraft there.
So it's a delicate balance of being able to do it.
Yeah, I suppose.
But going back to Borderlands in itself, I am not going to see that movie, just straight up. That doesn't necessarily mean I don't want it to succeed. I've said before, I never root for a movie to fail. The day that happens, oh, that movie is just going to be god awful for so many reasons outside of the fact that it sucks.
Well, let's see a trailer first. Let me see how it's shot.
But
who are my actors?
But in the sense written. Of, I hope it does well because it's never just about. Like I said, I use the example of Randy Pitchford, but it's never just about Randy Pitchford. It's also about all the writers there, and then the photographers, you know, the cameraman, all that. It's work for them. So,
yeah.
You know, hopefully it goes well to the point where, like, hey, they get some really cool shots. Well, you know, this guy behind the camera does really good work. Maybe we should use him for our movie. All that good stuff that, you know, that comes around with movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my hope. Is that, mm-hmm. you know, even though I'm not going to go see it, I don't want it to fail because everybody that's going to be working on it, I'm sure they're going to be working really hard. And hopefully it shows.
Okay.
But fuck you, Randy Pitchford. You're not giving my $10.
Okay.
I'm not even going to watch it on Cheap Tuesdays.
Wow. I thought your shitting was going to be way worse than that. You only didn't want to watch the movie because Randy Pitchford?
Well,
but that, yeah, the reasons
that and not necessarily just I don't know what happened with it, but what the original writer for Borderlands 2 which is the brother of Ashley Birch, who did the voice of Tiny Tina. He was the main story writer for Borderlands 2. And I think he was the one that really turned it around, because, like I said, Borderlands 1 had no story. Borderlands 2 was amazing.
I'm sorry. Okay, I've heard of this.
And he's not there for whatever reason. And I think it was his writing that really turned me on into the series in itself. It was his writing that made me recommend the games to all of my friends so that we can all get together and play the game.
Okay.
Because they had never played any of the Borderlands game, but I was just like, dude, you got to play it. Trust me, you got to play it. It's a lot of fun. You're going to enjoy it. Like, I fought hard for that game for my friends to play, and they loved it. So.
Okay. I didn't know it was Randy Pitchford was the reason you didn't want to even watch the movie. He probably has nothing to do with it.
He's the executive producer. He is the executive producer. Yes. That article that you sent me.
You know what? It would make sense that he is.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that freaking thief.
Actually, funny thing about that. Do you want to know why Dwayne Johnson never goes as The Rock on anything anymore unless he's back on wrestling TV?
No.
It's because if he does that, then Vince McMahon gets executive producer rights.
Oh, yeah, no, damn that.
That's why you never really hear him talk, like, refer, like, it's always Dwayne Johnson now. Very rarely do you ever hear The Rock. Unless it's wrestling.
Good Lord, that's like soul-selling fucking contract-making right there. Ew, mm-hmm. Good Lord. That's disgusting. Now, that's one thing, like Randy Pitchford getting like executive producer rights on any kind of Borderlands movie, but that's like Vince McMahon even saying like, oh, The Rock is in this, like, the movie.
That's why it's not even like Dwayne The Rock Johnson anymore. It's just Dwayne Johnson.
It's just Dwayne Johnson. Okay, I didn't know that. Wow, that's crazy.
Right?
But I thought you were going to be like, no, right? Like you don't like the, you heard of some troubling issues and you didn't like the video game movies. Because me right now, like, when it comes to video game movies, I don't think it's going to work out.
You know what? The last good
Pokemon
one was funny.
Pikachu, Detective Pikachu seemed like it worked out. Sonic the Hedgehog movie seemed like it worked out. This, I don't think so. I mean, surprise me. I want to be surprised. If you come out nowhere and like, God, if somebody's like, hey, we're going to make a Bad Dudes movie, and I see like two identical dudes in black tank tops beating the hell out of ninjas.
You know what I want to see?
On a semi, I'm down.
You know what?
And if you can make that work, I'm down.
You know what? Because I asked you this question. I said, what movie would you like to see like in a video game? Just for shits and
giggles.
You want
to change my answer to Bad Dudes?
No. You had your answer. This is my answer now. You know what I want to see?
Bad Dudes?
No. River City Ransom.
Oh, okay.
I want to see River City Ransom. Done as a movie.
Hollywood tried with Double Dragon. They fucked it up. You can't do it.
No, that is not River City, Matt. That is not River City. Fuck you for even suggesting that. I'm pointing at you. I hope you realize this, Sean.
Vander. Yeah. You deserve to have your Twitter hacked. Ouch.
Okay. I didn't say all that. That was all you.
It got hacked. I'm not going to get it back.
That big said, though, I'd love...
I know I'm not getting my Twitter back.
I want to see it happen. I want to see the shitstorm that would be River City Ransom. Two teenage boys beating up other teenagers from rival schools to find his girlfriend.
And then it turns out his girlfriend and her friend are actually fine, and they've been kicking ass on the other side of the city trying to get to them. That's River City Girls.
Yeah.
Which is great. Ah, oh, that's a good game. I beat the hell out of that game.
I mean, it's already like so out there as far as storytelling. Like,
I would think Borderlands is too, but I mean, I've never played Borderlands.
I want to see what Hollywood would be able to create with that, like what direction they would go in, just because it is so mind blowing. Like there was a Dorkly video
okay.
where it was like the return of Streets of Rage. Now, mind you, this was before Streets of Rage 4.
Cool.
But it was the return of Streets of Rage, and Axel is talking to Blaze, and they're all like, all right, we're coming back to form. Here we go. And they go, and they start beating up on somebody, which is one of the sprites for the villains. And one of the female versions of the characters comes in, and she's like, hey, what are you doing to my boyfriend? He's like, your boyfriend's a piece of trash criminal. And they're like, we're going over to the farmer's market to go get some fresh vegetables. They're like, well, why is he dressed like a criminal? And they're like, you know, it's, we're hipsters. Like, it's not the 90s anymore. It's not as simple as just going out on the streets and beating up random people. And then, like, it gets to, like, a homeless dude asking for change, and they go, like, is that a hipster? And, like, no, that's a poor person. Go ahead and beat him up.
Oh.
They're like, Streets of Rage! And they just start wailing on him. Like, it's
why Axel and...
It's such a ridiculous idea of just, like, going out on the streets and beating up every single criminal. Like, man. The story in itself, like, that was the whole idea of beat-em-ups, was, like, the bad guys took over the entire city. So you're telling me there is a syndicate group with smaller gangs that literally took over the entire city, and you have to beat up everybody that you see. Wow. How are you going to sell that to Hollywood? How? Please tell me. Make it work. As you said, surprise me.
I could take this into a dark place, but I'm not going to.
Please don't, if it's going to be that dark.
But that's right. Why Axel and Blaze are former cops. And
yeah,
then you have to
right.
go. And when you play Street Fighter, when you play Streets of Rage 4, you have to beat up the commissioner.
Yeah.
Just go into the office and start whipping his ass.
Yeah.
Apparently he was corrupt.
Moving on, because we're down to our last half hour. Damn.
All right, cool. What's up?
So this was something I wanted to talk about last week with Mike Kerosene. Unfortunately, we just, as always, kind of go off the rails, and we just had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, we totally did.
But I you know, I guess this can also kind of jump into it as well. It was reported that the Karate Kid series that originally started off on YouTube as a YouTube original, season 3 is not going to be airing on the YouTube Premium, which is their paid subscription service for $10 a month.
Mm.
And that not only is it not going to be airing there, but it's going to go into a new streaming service. Not like a brand new, not like a brand new one, but like a different one. Like, it could be Netflix, it could be Hulu. God forbid it's Quibi. But it's going to go.
Good question.
The fact that you had to ask that question kind of shows you what's going on with Quibi.
Mm-hmm.
That not only will it, like, season 3 air on the new or a different streaming service, but that season 1 and season 2 will also be moved over to that streaming service.
Ouch.
Yeah. And the reason I bring this up is because last week, maybe it was even 2 weeks ago, depending on when you listen to this podcast, Joe Rogan came out and said, hey, we're going to be moving to Spotify. For the time being, you can get the podcast on YouTube and Spotify. But at a certain point, everything is going to be on Spotify. Spotify is free. You're just going to get, you're going to have to sit through those commercials. The content's not going to change, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm. Spotify.
Hmm?
Happily. I pay for Spotify.
Oh, it's, you know what? I don't like giving free promotion. I'll do it for Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah. Great, great service. There you go. That one's a freebie, Spotify. You want any more? Come talk to me. Let's make that money.
Please.
But it got me wondering, because I don't know if you remember this or not. Did you watch the Karate Kid series, by the way?
Hail to the No.
Oh, you're missing out, bro.
I know. You and Randy are huge fans. Oh, you gotta watch the fucking...
Let me ask you this.
I have my reasons. I said it on the podcast.
Did you like the original Karate Kid movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
How could you not?
I think you should check it out then. Leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to try to force it on you on the podcast. I'll do it definitely outside of the podcast, but we're not going to do it right now.
I still want to make this podcast a little longer, but that's a thought, so okay.
shut up, Sean. What was I saying? Oh, it got me wondering because Cobra Kai was a series that YouTube was really pushing out there to try to get people to sign up for YouTube Premium. And to see it leaving for the third season makes me wonder what's going on behind closed doors at YouTube, Google, and the Alphabet Company, which is the parent company of Google and YouTube.
Okay.
And I honestly feel like it just comes down to the money of things. There was, I can't remember who the YouTuber was, but it came up randomly on my feed. And the guy said, I made the video intro or the title said, I made this much on a 2.5 million view video.
Okay.
And the guys go on there and they weren't big YouTubers, but they have hundreds of thousands of views.
Okay.
So big in one sense, but comparatively speaking to other YouTubers, I guess, not quite there. But they came out and they showed it. One of their videos hit 2.5 million views. And they even went into like the analytical data where it shows like how long somebody watched, if it was just a click or if they watched the entire video. And it was a pretty solid video. They had a lot of views, a lot of people sticking around throughout the entire video. And they made $325 off of that.
Okay.
Now, it's when you think of a show like Cobra Kai and them buying the exclusive rights to it so that they can show it on there, it makes you wonder if ultimately it has to come down to money, but it makes me wonder how Google is operating right now. Because, I mean, if you remember YouTube from maybe 5 or 6 years ago, people made money for being a YouTuber, a quote unquote influencer.
Uh-huh.
Until YouTube started to regulate more because they wanted more of the bigger advertisers to come in. And they wanted to, like, rather than actually try to come up with an intricate system for the different types of videos that you can find on YouTube, they did like a blanketed like system where it's just like, if you do any of these things, your video is immediately demonetized. You can still have your stuff on here, but you're not going to get any of the ad revenue for it. And it's just like, okay, this is why a lot of YouTubers ended up having to go through Patreon, or they had to get their own sponsorships. But now that like they're starting to get rid of shows or lose out on shows, it's like, what's going on with Google? Like, what's going on with YouTube?
Okay, so
closer to the mic, Sean.
This. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, okay. Damn. I mean, this isn't the first time YouTube has tried this sort of thing, doing TV shows on their platform, or even especially like original shows like Cobra Kai. Which, yeah, I'm like, cool. I mean, you're gonna do original shows. The Game Grumps had a thing going on. Some other guys, like a bunch of guys had something going on where it was like seasons and episodes and whatnot. And I'm like, all right, cool. This isn't the first time they've tried this. There was another YouTube program for TV shows. I forget because I'm not really that much of an influencer. I only appear on YouTube just for the funsies. I don't see a dime of this, so I'm not really following this noise.
And some of the videos that we put out, we'll never see a dime for.
Oh, no, we probably won't.
Not for the reasons that you think, but because apparently of copyright strikes.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, whatever. man, The thing is, YouTube, that original program that YouTube have going with TV shows and whatnot, that failed. Right now, they throw up a lot of, network television shows. You have to pay for them, of course. I mean, it's bullshit. I mean, I can just watch network TV, like through another streaming service. But hey, if you like the way YouTube is doing things, then cool, I guess. I mean, that doesn't make no sense. But I thought the second time around when they were going to do like original shows like Netflix and whatnot, I thought they were going to pull it off. But Game Grumps weren't doing a thing. Like they did that first season of whatever they were doing about professional gamers. And Aaron Hansen and Dan Avedon were hilarious in it. But then they only appeared that one season and that was it. God, what else? This Cobra Kai thing too. Like if they're going away and they only did two seasons, then damn, that sucks. And what was it? Team Laser? That show? I don't even know.
The Game Grumps one was called Good Game.
Yeah, or something like that, man. I don't know. But I don't think they even did it past season one.
I'm looking it up right now.
I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, then cool, I'm wrong. But, I mean, frankly, if they did a season two, then I haven't seen any kind of, like, advertisements for it. Because I've seen crazy advertisements for Cobra Kai over and over again. They believed in that show backwards and forwards, and you're still not going to get me to watch it for my reasons. But it's...
You know what? We are going to talk about this after the podcast, only because I forget what the reasons are.
Come on. It could be during the show. I don't like to hide things. It's okay. Word vomiteers. I'm pretty open.
Yeah, no. We're not going to do it on the show.
Fine.
Okay, so... When going back to Joe Rogan for a second, we found out that he is it's a $100 million agreement, contract, whatever you want to call it.
Done.
$100 million.
Sign me the fuck up to that.
But you know what? Like I can't remember who talked to him about this, but there is a clip out there.
Who cares?
Well, no, let me finish.
I get it.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Jeez. Where someone was just like, yeah, man, $100 million, this and that. And he's just like, yeah. He goes like, you know what? There's a part of me that even feels like this is fake. He's like, because it's just, that's an obscene amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I think he said like, you know what? I don't really even need the money. Because first off, I mean, look what he is. He's a popular podcaster. Gets so many cool guests.
He is the popular podcaster.
Yeah. Second only to one other podcast, if I recall correctly, at one point. He is also a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
So he travels all over the U.S. doing shows. He is one of the main commentators for the UFC.
Yep.
So the guy is without need. And even when he's like $100 million, like there's... Don't get me wrong. It's always cool to have more money, but Joe Rogan doesn't seem like the type of person that is very extravagant to the point where he needs a $100 million just loaded in, you know, like,
oh no,
like set. He doesn't need to do anything else for the rest of his life. And it just seems like more so of the podcast. It's just for fun. It's great to get people to come in and shoot the shit and, you know, maybe get paid for it, but like $100 million. It almost makes me wonder, like, was it something that YouTube may have done to him or said to him? Because that was where his primary videos all came up with. Like, dude has like over 1,500 YouTube videos, and that's just the regular podcast. Because he has his MMA one. I think that's over like 200 at this point, where like he'll get an MMA fighter, and they'll still do the same thing, but it also revolves around a lot of MMA. If you have him as as the second best podcast, and he says, hey, I'm leaving for Spotify that's willing to give me $100 million to make it exclusive to them, how badly did YouTube fuck up for that? Like, what did they do or say or not give him to the point where it was just like, I'm leaving. Because you know what? If I'm being honest, Joe Rogan seems like the type of guy that if Spotify made him this offer, like he may have gone over to YouTube and been like, hey guys, this is what's up.
Well, I don't even think it's like that far. I mean, YouTube and Spotify are completely different platforms.
And the fact
one does video, one does music, audio.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Even Joe Rogan says the videos are going over there too.
How?
You know what?
Watch videos off of Spotify.
And that's one of the things that it can be, is that this is the first video that they're going to start supporting on Spotify. So this, what we may be seeing right now is the start of Spotify beginning their expansion, where now it's not just set to music, but they're starting to go into video content as well. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time, too. Let's think about Apple iTunes. iTunes was just primarily a music-based program,
mm-hmm.
where it was just, you could buy albums, digitally download them, all that. And look what we have now. We have Apple TV. Like, iTunes is slowly getting phased out, and everything is going into this bigger and better platform. And my God, do I move around a lot when I'm on camera.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, okay. Son of a bitch. I got to stop watching Philip DeFranco. I feel like I'm getting a lot of the movements from him. But this could be like the start of where we start seeing what I think major competition for YouTube. Going back to that whole blanketed thing, I would have, mind you, I'm not the billionaire. I far from it as far as that, but
I'd be pissed if you are.
And I was just hiding. I'd be really, fuming. Really well. Yeah.
And I've been paying for your dinners ever since I've known you. I'd be fuming.
Well, not every dinner.
Well, maybe not every dinner.
Yeah, you make it sound like you're paying for everything. By the way, my groceries really? Haven't arrived yet, Sean Vander. Fuck you.
I'll get right on it. okay. Well,
but okay. Right, so, well, let me finish this thought.
Right, really fine. Go ahead.
Let me finish this thought. The whole blanketed thing. So, major competition. There was a YouTuber that I used to watch, and he dealt with more of like the horror aspect type of things, and also like he had a show called Seriously Strange, the Murder Files, you know. I'm into some weird shit sometimes.
Okay.
And he used to come out with so much content. And I would always look up like the ghost stuff, the haunted stuff. From time to time, I would go into the Murder Files and whatnot. And then after that whole change, he got completely demonetized, and he still uploads videos. But like I mentioned before, I think he primarily leans on a lot of Patreon donations in order for him to continue to do what he does.
At this point, every YouTuber does.
Every YouTuber does. The one that blew my mind was when What Culture started their own wrestling league.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing really well, dude. They did like a World Cup at one point where they got wrestlers from different parts of the world, all famous. Like, they got Juventud Guerrera, Rey Mysterio.
Yup.
It was like this huge thing. And they were making money off of it. And then blanketed system. And one of their events that they put out there for free, they primarily did ad revenue. It was Alberto El Patron.
Polo Del Rio.
Oh. Del Rio, El Patron, whatever you want to call him. Versus okay. Rey Mysterio.
Like, I'd watch that.
That's That'd main event savage stuff.
Match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They only made from YouTube $46 because of that.
Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on, because definitely every YouTuber has fucking complained about YouTube and all of the ethics and how much money they get for per video. The only ones I haven't seen actually get really, really complain about that is like the Game Grumps. And I don't know if they're like really, really, really happy with it. But if they aren't, they're not saying anything. But every other one that I've subscribed to or even listened to or whatnot, They have a Patreon, or they don't even post whatever videos they make on YouTube as much anymore. And they rely on Twitch and streaming and whatnot. And they don't necessarily go to YouTube for streaming. So, yeah, I don't know what's up, what's going on with YouTube, other than they don't like to pay a lot of their creators. And that sucks, because these guys are very talented at what they do. And they should get a little bit of they should get some compensation. But, I mean, if YouTube's like, hey, cool, you made 3 million views. All right, cool. It's $100. Suck my dick, Google out. You know, that sort of thing, which sucks. Yeah, they want to keep doing Patreon, because a lot of them just do it anyway. Like, I didn't think Channel Awesome would have to start going and taking advertisers. And, of course, they sure as hell have. And I'm like, wow, I thought YouTube would have had them covered, because their stuff is very original, very well thought out and whatnot, scripts. They put a lot of effort into what they do. And, yeah, they had to start taking on advertisers. And, and they have their own channel. So I'm sure that adds revenue for them and whatnot. And
it's just a matter of not necessarily the fact of not of like making money, but like the stuff that they produce costs money.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like able to buy the proper equipment for what you want to do, maintaining the equipment that you currently have, paying people for their work, the editors, all that. Like, it's just like, they need to get paid, you know. When I used to put on shows, I always felt bad, but I just didn't have the money for it. I would always ask bands to play for exposure.
I've been on movie sets where they just fed me lunch.
Yeah.
You know? Like, all right, cool, man. This is an experience for me. I was just like, hey, cool, Taco Bell, or hey, cool, Burger King, you know, like all right, cool. That's fine.
But, you know, when we talk about, like, editors and whatnot, like, that's a skill that they had to develop, that they had to learn. They had to either take classes or...
Still learning it.
I mean, or, in this case, watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's how I'm learning it.
Yeah. Because I brought this up, I want to ask you, do you think that's what Spotify may be doing right now? Do you think do you think they're specifically doing it to compete against YouTube, or do you think it's just more so something they want to start up
by themselves? I think what happened is that Spotify wanted Joe Rogan on their platform, primarily Podbean and any of the other broadcasting applications out there that cost money to actually use. Maybe one day we'll get on there. Maybe one day.
Fingers crossed.
I know. We're some bad mofos and some consistent mofos. But I think that they just wanted to have Joe Rogan lock, stock, and barrel. So it'd be everything he created. But they can't take anything that he does with the UFC, because I would think any material that he's making with them is probably copywritten with USC.
Well, not necessarily.
I don't know, like, for sure.
Like, it's one thing if he's talking to MMA fighters, then it's one thing, because it's just like an MMA fighter sitting there talking it up. If it comes up with UFC, that's one thing. If they're fighting on Bellator, that's another thing. I don't think Joe Rogan posts anything associated with UFC on his podcast.
Okay. Well, on the MMA fighting podcast, and then maybe. I don't know. I don't know the details of that story. But I think Spotify just wanted to own him lock, stock, and barrel, and any material that he is making, they want a piece of it. And if he's taking down all of his videos from YouTube, I mean, they're going to go somewhere, I suppose. Or if he just has them,
they're going to go to Spotify.
On a hard drive. Spotify doesn't have anything for that.
I mean, for all we know, like I mentioned before,
they could be working on something. But I don't have evidence.
This could be their first thing that they're going to introduce under their possible video platform.
Let me see. Maybe. Now, if they're working on something in the background where it's like, that new Post Malone joint. You want to see, you want to hear the song? Cool. Also, here's the music video, because when you put on Spotify on your phone, you'll get maybe like a GIF of like a, of some, like him on concert or something. You'll even get that for like some Beyonce songs or whatnot.
You know what? Actually, there's a couple of songs on there that'll play the full on music video.
I don't see that.
Yeah, every once in a while, it doesn't happen all the time.
Maybe every, yeah.
But
maybe.
There's a couple of songs that I remember where it would come up on my because like I let an album finish and then it just starts playing random songs for me.
Oh yeah.
And there's been a couple of times where I'm looking at the screen and it does it, and the music video is actually playing. It still has their HUD, so like you can still skip 10
you
seconds.
You see the HUD,
back,
but you'll see. Mm-hmm.
But you'll see the actual music video. So I think that might be what's going on as well. Is that there's a possibility?
Yeah, maybe. And if he wanted to put up any of his podcasts and it has the video of him talking and interviewing people, then that's fine too. That'll work.
So we're running out of time. So let me press this last question.
Sure.
Do you think that Spotify can compete with YouTube if it starts going into the video market?
No.
You don't think so?
Not right now. Mm-mm. No. Not right now. I bet. See, the thing is.
Okay, let me rephrase it. Let me rephrase it.
Okay.
Do you think they could?
Maybe down the line.
So right you think
now,
so?
No.
Okay.
Maybe down the line, but not right now. I can't imagine us posting anything on. I could see us posting our podcast on Spotify, which we are available on Spotify. Yuck, yuck, wink, wink. But these videos we're making aren't. And it's not like Spotify is busting down our door to have that happen. Be that as it may.
They might give us the option later on down the line.
Once that starts happening, then we'll like, okay, Spotify, you're making moves. Cool. Like, HBO's making moves, or Crunchyroll's making moves. Like, somebody's making moves.
Do you think Spotify is big enough to make these moves?
Right now, I think they're big enough for music and YouTube. Not YouTube. iTunes is in that boat where they want to compete with Spotify, which that's their war. I don't think that's something YouTube needs to get involved, or if they're even poking or trying to get at YouTube somehow. It's too early to tell. I don't think it's happening until something starts happening, until they start making announcements and you go, oh snap, that's what you really want to do? All right. Like if they signed like the company that posts up on YouTube, like Vivo, that's doing all the music videos on YouTube.
Right.
If they go and say, hey, F it, we're going to Spotify, now something's happening. Now we can talk about it. Right now, when it's just Joe Rogan, I don't think so. I think those videos that Joe Rogan did with his podcast, they're up somewhere. If he has a website, then they're up there. If they're available on his Twitch feed or something, like whatever he uses to stream any of that, then that's where they are.
Okay, so
right
mind
now,
you,
I don't know.
Mind you, I'm reading this off of Wikipedia, so
okay,
take it with a grain of salt. But it says Spotify's revenue for Q1 2020 amounted to £1.85 billion, which in America is $2 billion. Mm-hmm. A large part of this sum, $1.7 billion, which is $1.84 billion here in the States, came from Spotify premium subscribers. Gross profit quarter amounted to £472 million, which here in America is $511 million, mm-hmm. with an operating cost of $18 million. Imagine that, $18 million to run it, and they made $2 billion.
Okay, well, I'm not Joe Spotify, so I can't really tell, but if he's making moves, then let him make moves. Once
and again
he starts doing
the, again
you
dropping $100 million, damn.
Yeah, I know, but I'm pulling the sword out for this. But if they start making moves, then you will best believe we'll start reporting it on Word Vomit Podcast, and you will hear that on Spotify real, real, real fast.
Right.
All right. I'm just telling.
Indeed.
Just saying, right? Absolutely.
All righty.
Absolutely.
Sean, we are done with this episode.
Okay. We do need to make some announcements. So, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Sometime.
What do you mean sometime?
Yeah.
We can do it right now.
I don't know what the announcements are.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I guess a closing statement for me. Randy Kings, I miss you. He's coming back. He's not, like, I don't know if word vomiteers. Okay, so check this out. He has been absent. He's coming back.
He is coming back.
I promise you. You know what?
We don't want to get too much into it as to why.
Well, classes and whatnot.
We'll leave it to him. We'll leave it to him to discuss it if he wants to discuss it on the show. We'll just leave it at that. Sean, go ahead and plug your Twitter.
Okay.
I don't have it anymore. Okay.
I don't have it!
And because you had that on there, it ended up not recording that sound. So
really?
That's what you get. Yes. Because you were too loud.
I don't have it anymore.
There you go. Your Twitch.
I streamed a little tiny bit with my nephew. We were playing a little bit of Streets of Rage.
And where can they watch that?
Vander978 at twitch.tv.
There you go.
I'm going to stream later tonight. And
Sean, how many times I had to tell you?
I'm going to go into what?
Tell them that they can check it out on Monday because they're not going to see. They're not going to listen to this podcast until
Monday. Oh, fine. Yeah. You can check it. Check it out. You can check it on Monday, but I do my streams and whatnot on Saturdays and make it all nice and easy.
If you can check out Sean's stream on Saturdays, since now he's announced that it's every Saturday.
I try and make it every Saturday, but I've been really tired.
And if you're just now hearing about it, then check out some of the streams that he did previously on his Twitch channel. All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Vander978
at twitch.tv. Also, Word Vomit Productions, Betrayal on House of the Hill, episode 1
is
10 times temp is up. I worked really hard on that. It's really good. I was doing a little bit of stuff for episode 2. I wanted to be professional about this, and I started storyboarding it like someone probably a little too meticulous to do such things, but
mind you, we didn't ask you to do any of that.
I know. I'm putting too much effort into this, but you know what? I want to put too much.
You know what? I'm not going to fault you for that. If you're having fun with it, just have fun with it.
I know.
All right. We got to wrap this up, sir.
All right.
So
I mean,
keep an eye out.
I'm working on episode 2.
Keep an eye out part 2. Part 1's up right now.
Yes.
All right. My final words to everybody, ladies and gentlemen, in this massive time of chaos, do not forget to be kind. Make sure you check it out on our socials. Make sure you're following us there. Make sure you also follow Word Vomit Productions on YouTube. For Randy Kings, who's not here right now, but I'm pretty sure he would love to send his, you know, goodbyes. And Sean Vander, who's drinking out of a skull. I am Vitamin E Man, a.k.a. the stubborn SOB.
Reminding
everybody, stay classy to each other.